Good morning, everyone. It's really lovely to see all of you and see people here after several months and new people coming and old faces as well. It's lovely to be together as God's family in his place. A couple of weeks ago, we wrote a card to bless a vicar in Iran, Payam. And Payam, he wants to thank all of you for the messages that you gave and for encouraging him at a very difficult time. To tell the truth, I think an even greater encouragement was the fact that his good friend, Bishop Guli Francis Dakani, was on Desert Island Discs. I don't know if you know the program Desert Island Discs. It's on the BBC radio. And she was talking about her experiences. So if you want to know more about the church in Iran and the history, you can listen to that and hear Payam's friend speaking. We've got an interesting subject today. It's multi-layered, which means that there's something there for all of us with that, but it's kind of challenging because I would like to be able to go a little bit deeper, and I really need the help of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray first of all. Yes, Lord God, we want to thank you. Thank you first, Lord, for our brother Payam in Isfahan in Iran and for the work that he's doing with the blind people there. Pray, Lord, your blessing on him this day. But we thank you, Lord, that there is blessing over us because of you, Lord Jesus. It's all because of you. And we want to give you the glory. And we ask, Lord, for your help through your Holy Spirit that you speak to us today. Help us, Lord, to know you better, to know your ways, to hear your voice, to see your beauty, and to pray, Lord, that your glory will cover the face of this earth as the waters cover the seas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, it's a long time ago. It was back in November that I was talking about Abraham from Hebrews 11 and how, as part of the promise that was given to Abraham, was the fact that he had a blessing over his life. He was blessed in order that blessing might be passed through the generations to his descendants and to the nations. So round about, I don't know, I'm guessing about 4,000 years ago, with this one individual that had this particular relationship with God, he was known as the friend of God, that God's blessing would pass from Abraham to his descendants and to the nations. So we are now in that river, if you like, of the blessing that stems from this historical action, this event that happened so long ago, which means it's relevant for us today. This isn't just history, this is for us now. So it's actually quite exciting. And the writer to the Hebrews, he talks about how this blessing started to be passed down through the generations. So just a couple of verses from Hebrews 11. This is verses 20 and 21. So Isaac, of course, Abraham's son, by faith, through Sarah. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. So Jacob and Esau were twins. And you might remember that Jacob means he grasps the heel because they were fighting between these two brothers, these two twins. I don't know if in your family you have any brothers that you fought with, but can certainly say that I used to fight with my sister a great deal, but there was conflict, and this is going to be quite important later on. So keep in mind that there was conflict between Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. So, as you know, Joseph went to Egypt. He was taken there basically as a slave, sold into slavery by his brothers. And then in Egypt, he came to the notice of Pharaoh. Through God's working, he became the instrument that God was going to work through his wider family and provide for them at a time of famine. Joseph was married and had two sons. Anybody know their names? Thank you very much. Ephraim and Manasseh. So, and who was the older one? Anybody know? No, Manasseh is actually the older one. Ephraim was the younger. That's also going to be relevant later on. Okay, so here then, in these two verses, we begin to see how by faith the blessing that Abraham received started to be passed down. So the promise that was given to Abraham is on its way being fulfilled. Okay? It's the start of something important that affects us today. Now, we talk about blessing a great deal. In fact, Angeline, yeah, she blessed you, yeah, sort of from the front. But I wonder, it's so easy to use this word, blessing, but what does blessing actually mean? What are the characteristics of blessing from the Bible? What does the Bible tell us that blessing actually is? So let's have a quick look then. Now, I made a list. This list might not be exhaustive. You might find things you can add to it yourselves, okay? So this is just to give you a feel for what blessing is. First of all, God's favor. If you are blessed, you are in God's favor. He is for you and not against you. Amen? And blessing is conferred by grace. What I mean here is that you can't earn blessing. It has to be freely given. Blessing has to come to you because of God's will, God's favor towards you. However, it is maintained through obedience. And I have a verse here from Deuteronomy 11, and it's verses 26 to 29. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods, which you have known. And it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim, and the curse on Mount Ebal. This is a really interesting occurrence in the Old Testament when the Israelites were coming into the Promised Land. And Moses instructed them to go to two opposing mountains. There was Gerizim and Ebal. And the people were going to be divided into two companies. Excuse me. One company was going to go to the top of Mount Gerizim, and they were going to pronounce blessings over the people. Blessings for obedience. So the blessing was given by grace from the God, but it was maintained by obedience. the blessing would continue for as long as the people of God were obedient. On the other hand, half the company were on the top of Mount Ebal, and they would proclaim curses for disobedience. Because, disobedience, it breaks the connection to God and his favour and blessing. It stops the flow of blessing, doesn't it? Fruitfulness is another characteristic of blessing. And we see that when Isaac blessed Jacob. Okay, this was the blessing that Jacob gave to Isaac. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. So plenty, prosperity, fruitfulness is part of that blessing. Oh, I've missed out something. What I've missed out there is what comes next. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. You see, part of the blessing is also authority and primacy, headship. Okay, and that comes up again and again. That is part of God's blessing. God's blessing gives status. Do you remember when Elizabeth blessed Mary? So as she was going to bear the Lord Jesus, blessed are you among women. You have status among women. So blessing gives status and authority, headship. It also speaks of peace. We won't look at it for the sake of time, but when the people of Israel spoke the blessings from Mount Gerizim, the blessings included peace, that even though enemies would rise up against them, they would not be able to prevail, as long as the people were obedient to God. Protection, that God would provide his protection as long as they were obedient. And security, they would know security in the land as well. So when we're talking about blessing, we're talking about all of these things, a mixture of different things together. Now, we have to be a little bit careful because these are not absolutes. It's not saying you will always be protected, you will always enjoy good health, you will always be prosperous, you will never have any problems with security. No, it's not like that. We're living in a fallen world. And even as there was conflict between Jacob and Esau, there is still conflict now. There is conflict, you know, in the world for God's people. And that means that the blessing is something that is a generality for now. For now. But we do see that for peoples, historically, there have been times where you see this blessing. And because I do a lot of work with refugees, for example, I was thinking about what attracts people. How do they decide which country to go to? And what they are they looking for? And aren't they looking for these things? People are looking for security in a new country that they're going to. They're looking for protection. They're looking for peace. They want a place that is healthy for them, where they can flourish as a family, where they can be fruitful. And I'm sure that there are many who would like to be in a place where they're enjoying God's favour. So when we think of migration today, which countries are people migrating to? It's generally those countries that have seen blessing. Is that true? Not in the Bible, but it seems to be the case. Right. So, this then is the idea of what blessing is. Now let's go back again to the blessing that was given to Abraham and the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob and to Esau. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, something strange was happening. Now, first of all, you have to know that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, when she was pregnant with twins, she felt that the conflict was even there in her womb. She felt that the twins were moving and were fighting against each other, even at that time before they had been born. And she asked God, what's going on? What's happening? And God gave her a word to say that they are struggling because the older will serve the younger. Esau was born first, but Jacob was holding on to the heel even in birth and trying to get out, sort of struggling to be first. And you see that all the time. Jacob is struggling to be first. So much so that when Esau, as though older, Esau was a hunter. I mean, he was a very sort of manly type, actually. You get the impression. It says that he was hairy and loved hunting, going out. Jacob, however, was much more comfortable, sort of in the tents, more of a stay-at-home type. But Jacob was the one who valued the blessing. And one day, Esau came back from hunting, and he was tired and hungry, and Jacob had made some lentil soup. And Esau said, give me some of your soup. He said, all right then, give me your birthright. You're the firstborn, give that right to me, and you can have some soup. And he did. And the Bible mentions that as an example of a lack of faith, that Esau could not see the value of the blessing that he had. It would have been given to him, but he exchanged it for a bowl of soup. And we have to be very careful in our lives that we do not exchange the blessing that God wants to give us for something material and irrelevant in our lives that is never going to give us future blessing. May we never exchange God's blessing for anything as futile as a bowl of soup or any other material thing. And then later on, Rebekah engineered it so that when it came to the time for Isaac to bless his sons, Jacob put on Esau's clothes, smelling of Esau, put on goatskin, hairy, if you're feeling that, and basically tricked his father into giving the blessing to him instead of his brother. So what we see is that the blessing switched. Now, this is strange. Switched blessings. So Isaac was tricked into giving his blessing to Jacob. Hebrews says that he gave the blessing by faith. So Isaac was old, he was blind, he didn't know that there in front of him was Jacob. He thought it was Esau. But he spoke out the blessing in faith. And when he realized that he had been tricked, he couldn't take the blessing back. Once blessing has been given, he couldn't bring it back. It was Jacob's. Jacob had got it. Jacob, the trickster, had got hold of what he had wanted so long ago. He'd got hold of the birthright. He'd got hold of the blessing that was an inheritance from Abraham. The blessing switched. And then, interestingly, we see another switched blessing. You see, Jacob had decided that Joseph's sons, in other words, his grandsons, would be counted as his own sons. It's kind of interesting because we speak about the 12 tribes of Israel, don't we? But you actually have one extra because the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, were also counted as Jacob's sons. So in fact, you can almost say that there are like 13 tribes of Israel. Now, what happened with that? So Caden, could you come up, please? And Aris, could you come here, please? Is that all right? No, don't worry. Thing is, when you say don't worry, you automatically worry. Right. Okay. So you're Manasseh, yeah. Right? You're the firstborn. Then you're Ephraim. You're the secondborn. And I'll be Jacob. So I'm the old man, all right? Okay, and unfortunately, in the Bible, it often seems that the old men were sort of blind. They weren't able to see very well. So Joseph brought his two kids to... I'm getting all my names mixed up. To Jacob, thank you very much. And he brought Manasseh, who was the firstborn, to Jacob's right hand. Because it's the right hand that blesses. Remember, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father of God. And he brought Ephraim to the left hand of Jacob. So if you come here a bit, yeah. Right? So Jacob was going to bless them, but by faith, Jacob did this. What was he doing? He couldn't see naturally, but he could see spiritually. And with his right hand, he put the blessing onto Ephraim rather than Manasseh. The blessing switched. Okay, now I might want you again in a minute. I'll warn you. So what does this matter for us? Well, it actually matters quite a lot because it means that if you are not under God's blessing, you can be. It means that blessing can be switched to you. Okay. So, we have our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, come up again, please. Right. Okay. So, yeah, first of all, here we have a man like any one of us. A sinner. Someone who is sinful. Someone who is disobedient. Now, do you remember that when the blessings and the curses were spoken from the two mountaintops, it was through obedience that the blessing would be maintained. If there was disobedience, in place of blessing, there would be cursing. So any sinner is under a curse. There is the curse of death. There is the curse of being under Satan's power. This is the status of any person born, that we are all sinners and we all fall short of God's glory. So poor old Aris here, like the rest of us, in his nature is under a curse. However, we have Jesus. Now, Jesus was always obedient. There was no disobedience. There was nothing that Satan could get hold of in his life. So, you have blessing. The blessing of Abraham was over Jesus. The fullness of Abraham's blessing was over Jesus through his absolute obedience. But then Jesus took the burden of sin upon his own shoulders and went to the cross. And the Bible says, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. So the curse that was over this person became over this person. And it switched. That the righteousness of God from the obedience of the Son passed to the sinner by faith. But the story doesn't finish there. You see, when you think about it, sort of Isaac, if you think about Isaac, when he blessed Jacob, he was deceived, wasn't he? But when sinners were blessed through our Lord Jesus Christ, God wasn't deceived. God knew, God the Father knew exactly what he was doing. Who was deceived? Satan, the deceiver. You see, when Jesus was under the curse on the tree, it made Satan very happy indeed. You remember the temptation? And what God wanted to do to get power over Jesus? And now, Jesus is under his control. Jesus dies under the curse. But he is raised again to life on the third day. And what has Satan got left? Nothing. Do you understand why Satan is furious? He's not only lost this one, he's also lost this one. Satan is a loser. He has lost out because of the faithfulness and obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that the blessing that was over the Son of God switched to sinners by faith. Hallelujah! Thank you very much. And our Lord Jesus, he referred to this blessing on when he was speaking on the Mount. So for example, blessed are the poor in spirit. So the poor in spirit are those who are not blessed. And yet they are blessed because Jesus foresaw that there was going to be blessing coming through his obedience. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we see the kingdom of heaven coming, we see blessing coming. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that has come, is coming, and will come. It will come in its fullness in good time. And at that point, we shall see the absolute nature of this blessing. At that point, we shall know what it is to be completely healthy. No more tears. No more sin. No more shame. But at the moment, as I said, we're living in a fallen world. There's still conflict. And praise God, we see something of God's blessing in our lives. I hope that you are thankful for what you notice that God is doing in you and in us. Because we mustn't be thinking so individualistically. It's not about me and my blessing. It's about us as the people of God and God's blessing over us. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, in his faithfulness, switched the blessing that was rightfully his, that we might be inheritors of Abraham's blessing. Amen.